Learning by doing is a good way to master a skill. Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. That's our key sentence for today. Learning by doing is a good way to master a skill. We're talking with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. No better way to do that than learning by doing. David, did you go to Scripture as you started the day today?
Almost always I can answer yes to that, and today, yes, I did.
Could we use that passage as a text to build the sermon around, to demonstrate the sermon coach sermon development process?
If you want to do that, that would be fine. If you probably need to read it, I have a Bible here. It was Psalm 30. I've been working my way through the Psalms. I didn't read it to think about doing a sermon on it, but let's try it, see what happens.
Okay, here's Psalm 30. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his, praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountains stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called, to the Lord I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever.
Okay, you're at the end. Does it say whose psalm it is, Dean?
It says it's a psalm of David.
Okay, well, it sounds like David. It's very typical of him. It's addressed to God, so in essence, it's a prayer. And he's saying things, I'm trying to just get my mind around what it is.
Yeah, the head note says that it's a psalm on the occasion of the dedication of the temple.
Okay, well, that's neat. That's helpful. And he's saying things like, I will exalt you, I will sing to you, I will praise your holy name. I think as you came to the end, he said, I will sing to you, I'm not going to be silent, I'm going to give you thanks. David often doesn't distinguish between thanks and praise. Thanks starts here, goes to God, and comes back as to what's happening in our lives, whereas praise starts here, but just praises God for what he is. Regardless of what I'm experiencing, you're still a loving God. You're still a holy God. You're still an all-powerful God, even though I don't sense that. But I thank you that in my life, you've done very great things for me, which I make it a habit almost of. I usually pray with a pencil. It's just easier for me to, it's more concrete than just talking aloud. Although sometimes I think the Lord says, put the pencil aside and let's just talk, you know. But I write down six things for which I'm thankful every day at the end of the day. And I usually write more than that because there are more reasons to be thankful. Anyway, I'm just kind of trying to process. It is addressed to God and it's more a prayer of praise and thanksgiving, I would say. And it's affirming God for the wonderful way he has acted in David's life. So if I say, okay, what's the response or what is the subject? I'm not sure I got to the subject yet, but the response is for us to, on a regular basis, exalt or lift up the Lord. When people say praise, I think they move thanksgiving, praise, all of those kind of go together. I looked up in the thesaurus while you're talking here, praise. It says synonyms: applause, applauding, adulation, esteem, laud, commend, approve, appreciate, cheer. Praising, we're cheerleaders for the Lord, I guess. Acclamation, adoration, recognition, glorifying, celebrating, exalting, giving thanks, saying grace, crying up, singing the praises of, and so on. And those are not from a Bible thesaurus, that's just a normal thesaurus. We're basically commending God for what we know him to be and the good way he works in our life. And that's what David is doing there. So I would say the response that is being wanted is that we would affirm the Lord, or that we would laud him, or that we would acclaim him, or we would make a great deal out of him, or we would compliment him, or we would rave about him. Those are the things that David is doing there if we're copying his example. If I get a subject, and I'm playing with this so you kind of can come back to it, but this is how I think when I try to put a sermon together about a psalm like this. So the response is that we will exalt or praise the Lord or lift his name up. And what he's doing is reviewing all the good things about God. There's so many good things that he's writing about God. So I would say because of God's goodness to us, it is proper that we regularly exalt him. And I was just writing down here. In a sentence, if I were to unfold that psalm, it would be, God's goodness to us is reason enough to regularly exalt or lift up the Lord. And David does that continually. It's amazing to him. And I would also say that David, me, has learned to do this over my lifetime so that I find great joy. And just to go back to a practice, every morning I write down four reasons for which to praise the Lord. And I do that again at night, usually related to my day in some way. And then I also write down six reasons to be thankful to the Lord for that day. And I find that it isn't hard at all. The write down the thanksgivings, those are very easy because I just am reviewing my day. It could be like I'm here with you, and this would be very meaningful. Another time to spend with my dear friends, the Wilsons. That would be a huge thing for Thanksgiving. Yesterday, drove, 8.5 hours, almost nonstop, except for bathroom breaks, and no accidents. I thank you for that. I think you watched over me, Lord. You gave me a good night's sleep the night. But I write down, there's simple things like that. But I find that I'm in a constant position where I'm relating to God's goodness to me and who God is, regardless of what is happening in my world. God, I find this to be very commendable about you. So to go back to a sentence, and I think this sentence would be relevant for people, God's goodness to us is reason enough to regularly exalt the Lord. Or whatever word you want to use in there, exalt or lift up or praise. Exalt, the reason I'm using exalt is because it tends to cover both praise and thanksgiving. Now, I don't think anybody would disagree. They wouldn't disagree that that's a good sentence, and the words may change depending on how you do this, but that captures what the psalm is about. Now, the question is, do people know how to do this? And probably the answer is most people don't, whether they know how or not. And I would say most people don't know how to do it. And I think it's a hard thing to get used to. And I think it's hard if you're just starting out praying and you do it aloud. I think it's easier to do with a pencil. To say, Lord, here's what I'm going to praise you, or here's I'm going to lift you up in my with my verbalizing today. I'm going to lift you up because, and then if you write those things down, it's more concrete, at least for me it is, than if you just let them dangle. And these become very specific reasons for which I praise you today. And that becomes a habit. And when you look at David's life in the Old Testament, he was doing that all the time. He was doing it in the darkness of caves where he was hiding, still praising the Lord and telling the Lord what his concerns are and such. But a big part of praying is not just asking, running into the presence of the king and saying, this is what I want, that's what I want, I really like it if you give me this. It's not just request, it's praising or exalting the Lord. And that's a good exercise because it puts you in this constant sense of dependency. This day, Lord, is a gift to me from you. I don't deserve it, but you have given it to me. So I would say that would be the sentence. And then if you say, God's goodness to us is reason enough to regularly exalt the Lord. And I'm going to tell people how to do that with specific illustrations and maybe even say, okay, I want you to take a little while and you write down what you like about the Lord or what you want to thank him for. This would be a sermon, probably I'd put it early in the service because I think it's something I would like after the people have heard it to practice it before they went home and forgot it. I started to ask you a question. The question would be, what would be a good theme around which to center our praise in that service? So what would we praise God for?
We could praise him that he's the giver of every good and perfect gift.
That's exactly where I was in my mind. I'd say the same thing.
I just wanted to make a comment about the how-to. One of the things that in your particular case, and I hope in mine, we're very aware of the goodness of God. We're conscious of that because we've made a practice for a long, long time of looking for evidence of God in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
This is also a sermon that can be used to introduce that how-to aspect. In other words, to do this, to respond, you first must be aware of God's goodness. And one of the ways you become aware of God's goodness is to begin to tune your mind to see his hand. At the end of the day, thinking back through the things that have happened, look at them and say, were these all just coincidences of my life, or do I see God's hand? And the more that you examine your life thoughtfully and quietly and prayerfully, you see God's hand. teaching people the value of that is an important first step to then being able to write down and say, here's the things I'm thanking you for today, and I'm going to praise you, Father, for
So what you've done is to slow down what I've said. I've said it almost so fast that it goes right over people's heads. And they need to learn to, I mean, most people, even in the church, they go to bed with the TV on, and they may say a prayer when they hop in bed. And why do I know that? It's because I've talked to enough people. So it means that you actually carve out time to say, I'm going to spend X amount of time with this piece of paper and writing down so you know that I didn't miss what you did, God. And if you don't do it, things go right on by, and you're totally oblivious to the goodness of God in your life. So you write it down. At least that's been helpful to me. And then also you write down your praise. In fact, in the actual service, there could be sheets of paper for people to say, this is about how long it would take. How many of you got six already? You know, how many of you are still struggling? How many of you? And then now, those of you who are still struggling, if you need extra help, we'll be happy to help you. Maybe you just aren't good at detecting it yet. You know, maybe God hasn't shown his good hand to you. Some of you who got a lot of them on the list, talk to the people who don't have as many down. Let's move around in the congregation and see if you can help them by showing them what's on your list. It's a great psalm, and it would very easily translate to a service and to have music that then talks about the goodness of God. I'm going to tuck a song into your heart this week. The choir is going to sing it, then we're going to sing it, and hopefully when we come back next week, we'll sing it again. You know, it's just right. Planning all this out is what we're talking about. So it's not just a sermon, but it is a truth that is very appropriate for people in their lives. And basically we're just brainstorming together what could be done with that psalm.
Yeah. If a pastor had chosen to preach a series of messages on the God hunt, for example,
mm-hmm. Yes.
Where there are very specific categories we look at of ways that God touches our lives each day, and those usually break out into a sermon for each of those items. Mm-hmm. This would be a wonderful final sermon in that
series. Yeah, it would be. It would be great.
Because that would bring it all together. Now that we're conscious of how God's at work in our life, now we're going to praise him for the very specific things, so that praise for him will always be on our lips.
Yeah, see, you've just done something that I wouldn't have done. You've connected other thoughts that I understand with and saying, let's do a four-part series with this as the fifth Sunday that will pull it all together. That's a great idea. I love it. Yeah, I should be back in the pasture where I could put it all together.
I think we need to do this again. Let's next podcast take a different passage and walk through it just the way we did this time, because learning by doing is a good way to master a skill.
Yeah, my only problem is that I'm in Zechariah right now.
Well, that's okay. Maybe we can...
We'll choose a different one.
We'll choose a different one, maybe from the New Testament. Well, why don't we think about Philemon, for example?
That's short. Okay, you can read that. That's very short. Good. Good
right,
idea.
Very good.
Yeah, Zechariah is still a little tough for me, so...
We're so glad you joined us for our time together. You found our Sermon Coach podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website, and we invite you to join us for our next sermoncoach.com podcast.